Very appropriate song choices, Doug.
That was excellent. It was excellent. All right. For those of you who were here last week to hear my brilliant cousin Mike speak, is he even here? He's not even here. What a jerk. who were here for that, he gave a lesson on clothing yourself in Christ. We're going to get a bit of a recap because there's nothing like a good segue. Some of my favorite songs I love just for the segue. That segue. All right, sorry. Anyways, Mike used Romans 6, 8 through 14, and we're going to go there. 8 through 14. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. To clothe yourself in Christ is to be righteous. But what does that mean? I am here to define for you guys what righteousness is. So when we use the word, we can all be on the same page. Our instruments, our hands, our deeds can further the cause of unrighteousness, or we can further the cause of Christ. So how do we go about getting justified? Well, there's a series of laws that God established to guide people. So the answer could be there. So we're going to go to Romans 3, 19 through 20. And that says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And that doesn't sound quite right. Oh, I stopped too soon. Okay, 21 through 24. "But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. The law wasn't given to justify sin, but to expose it. Christ's death justifies sin. Contemplate that. Think about it. Our salvation, our hope for eternal life, rests on our ability to believe, to trust, and the grace that Christ's death grants us. That's how helpless we are. We can't do anything. We just have to believe. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But what do we do with that? It's clearly stated it's not by the law that we're saved. Well, I learned by example. I don't know about you guys. Hello, Kayla. I learned by example. So what I need is a good example of who did righteous things. And this nifty letter of Romans, which I seem to be using entirely, has that example in Romans 4. I started talking again before I read it. Romans 4, 3. There it is. "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." He was justified by his belief. Righteousness is believing. Sounds fairly simple, right? And how do we know the law has no part in righteousness? If you skip to verse 11, it says, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also." He received the seal of righteousness before the law was even established. He was righteous before there was a law that exposed sin. He was already righteous. So the law has nothing to do with it. I can't help but think of the parental favorite, "Just do what you're told." Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He was called out of the land of his fathers, his father and their fathers, and the land of Ur, when he was 75. Proof by example that you're never too old to do God's will. So, you're all looking at me like, "So all I have to do to be righteous is to believe in God." Well, you could have just said that at the beginning. We could have all gone home. And I'm sure you'll have better things to do than listen to me. And we're already halfway done. For those of you who are here this morning, you heard Dave's lesson in faith. And this is segue part two. There may not be justification through the law, but true belief dictates a proper response. And James 2 tells us that genuine faith will produce good works. The two complement each other. If you don't believe me, don't believe me. Demons believe who Christ is. They know it without doubt. It doesn't do them any good because they're driven to hatred and rebellion. They made their choice. So can we. Now, we received a free gift from God, the sacrifice of his son. And we can ignore that reality. And we can walk through this world worried about trivial things and fall into its patterns. Or we can respond accordingly. Jericho's walls fell because God told the Israelites, "March around the city once for 6 days, but on the seventh day, march around seven times. Seven priests will blow seven ram's horns, and on the sound of the last trumpet, all the people will shout, and the walls will fall flat." That's Joshua 6, by the way. God could have crumbled the walls without them taking a single step. Obviously, they believed it would occur, as he said. They did it. They trusted him. But it's about humility. This occurred because this is how you said it would. Not by my hand, but by yours. I am merely a messenger. Let me show you the power of my God. But let me show you the power of my God. God gave them a specific set of directions to follow that were the terms and conditions necessary for him to meet his end of the deal. We have our terms and conditions to meet as well. We don't have to walk around a wall or sacrifice our own children, although some of us would prefer that. We just have to display Christ's love, his compassion, his mercy, and his forgiveness. And if you need another example of someone to follow that's righteous, remember that Christ too wanted his cup taken from him, but he did it anyway. So, if you feel you haven't been committed to God's will for your life, talk to someone. We have this community so we can pick each other up when we fall. God doesn't want you to walk alone. That is what the church is for. If you feel that you don't match up to God's call to righteousness in your life, please come forward and we can work through it. So if you have a problem, at least let us try to help. Trust God, and righteousness is yours.